Dolls O' Mine. I'm Julie Parker, and this is Conversation Accessories. Have you ever seen a homeless person with a dog and wondered how he or she could afford to keep a dog? Well, maybe they can't afford not to. Dogs provide necessary protection for women living on the streets. They provide warmth on cold evenings, and their simple companionship can offer emotional support and stave off feelings of isolation. Troy Williams of Road Dogs Outreach helps those living on the streets to feed and care for their dogs.
So what's the backstory for Road Dogs Outreach?
It really started when I moved into a bus, come with a more gypsy lifestyle.
And what was the backstory of that?
Rent's expensive. And I'd been living in a situation where I got to live rent-free in exchange for maintenance on the property. And when I went back to paying rent again, I went, oh my God, this is just ridiculous. So I bought an RV and it broke down immediately. I ended up selling it and buying a school bus right from the school district and converting it to my own little RV. And
this is one of the shorter buses, not the
long. It's a little short bus, a little tiny one. We can park it anywhere. It's nice. So I was downtown Santa Cruz where I live, and there's always homeless kids down there. And I saw one with a little puppy, and a little sign said, I need dog food. And very active in the animal community where I live, and volunteered at the animal shelter, ran my own dog business. So I said, oh, well, I have food and a harness and a leash, so I can hook these kids up and give the stuff to their dog. So I just started telling them when I knew that, give me the extras you have and I'll start passing them out. And it just kind of grew from there. And I just go downtown and walk around with my dogs and see kids with their dogs and offer them assistance. And eventually I realized there was enough of a need to make something official out of it, and I started Road Dogs Outreach.
Now, what type of volunteer work were you doing with the animal shelters?
Started out as a dog walker, and then fostering dogs, and that led into actual boarding business for a while. Dog Vacay, one of those online things you can set up. Rover.com is a few of them where you can set up and become a pet sitter. So I did that through those couple different websites. And then when I got the bus, I started Road Dogs Outreach. And I run it as a nonprofit. I invest money into it. I don't make any money off of it. I get really high quality dog food. And that's a big goal of mine. My mission is to educate. I want to teach people to be better dog owners. Everyone loves their pets, but they don't always have the education and the skills to do it right. And we grew up being told a lot of wrong things about how to raise our dogs.
For example?
Your dog pees in the house, you roll up the newspaper and you slap your dog with the newspaper and you yell, I'm a bad dog. And that's completely wrong. It's your fault. You roll up the paper and you slap yourself.
So what should a dog owner do?
You potty training. I take him out like every 20 minutes. I'll take a dog out as a puppy until he figures it out. And within a couple of days, he's got it figured out. I'm positive training. Distract from behavior you don't like and redirect towards behavior you do want and then reward that behavior. And that's the key to positive dog training, and that's what I try to teach everyone to do.
What are some other issues that owners face and they're not training correctly or handling correctly?
Well, if you're not training correctly, you might have short-term effectiveness, but in the long term, it's going to backfire on you. If you're smacking your dog to make him do what you want, he might do it for a while, but eventually he's going to turn back on you and decide you're not a nice person. He doesn't like you. Your dogs trust us and love us, and it's our goal to protect them and our job to protect them. So I try to teach people to be the best at that they can be. Feeding properly is really important, not just for health, but for behavior. Something I learned because I have a Shar Pei mix and I had to learn how to feed her right. She has so many different food allergies. If I give her a low-quality food, she's going to itch. I think a lot of people do that. They feed their dogs cheap food, and the dog's itchy, so then they're giving the dog lots of flea meds, and nothing's working. So I try to teach them to start with the quality food.
So what do you look for in a label on dogs?
I go straight to the ingredients. Never look at the front of the package. Go to the ingredients. Try to stay grain-free. A lot of dog foods are full of corn or wheat or soy, and those are things that dogs don't need in their diet. Most dogs have allergies to those. It's just a cheap fill. It's like giving your dog a bowl of cereal every day and thinking, you know, that's going to work. When you feed quality food, they're healthy. Their skin and coat's healthy. And then their behavior, when their nutritional needs are met, their behavior goes hand in hand with that.
How so?
A dog that's being fed like a crappy food, like Pedigree or Beneful, for example. A lot of people use those. It's like giving a kid McDonald's. His belly's full every day, but he has no nutrition, so his body's saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. He's stealing food off the counters, he's getting the garbage. Whereas when you switch him to a quality food, for a basic bottom line, I kind of start a standard. I start with Taste the Wild, quality food for a very good price. You can switch a dog from like Pedigree to Taste the Wild, and those behaviors will immediately go away. The body will say, I'm happy, I'm fed, I don't need to go find food anymore. And I've seen it over and over and over. I've seen the skin and the hair and everything clear up and itching go away. And the owners come to me and say, wow, my dog's a different dog. I thought he was dying. He was so lethargic, but now he's happy and playful again. Great to have those people come back to me and tell me those stories. It reinforces everything I've learned and I try to share. And then with the positive training and the good food, I approach the people with the good food. I give them the food for free. After several meetings, they're open to suggestions and I can start training them and start educating them on proper dog care, proper training techniques. And then the main goal is spaying and neutering all pets. And we have to get the numbers down to a manageable level. At this point, we've created way more pets than we have homes. And unfortunately, that means we put down many very good animals every day in this country because we just have too many. So until we spay and neuter them all, it's never going to end. So if I can get that done, get them to spay and neuter, get them to feed properly, then they're going to have happy, healthy dogs. And they're going to represent community as those dogs are happy and healthy. They're going to break all the mess that people have, that homeless people don't feed their dogs well. Everyone feeds their dog first. They will feed the dog before they feed themselves.
We'll get to that in a second. You work predominantly with dogs, but have you worked with other animals as well?
I work with pretty much all animals. The reason I got involved with dogs when I joined the shelter is because I had the cat thing down already. I grew up as a cat guy, the dogs off and on through my life, I always had cats. So I took the challenge of the dogs and to learn the most I could. Fortunate to belong to a county, live in a county that has a great shelter system that offers a lot of really good classes and training, brings in some real experts from around the country to help train us. I've learned a great deal from those classes, from the officers themselves.
So my listeners should probably approach their local county shelters.
You know, the way I look at it is no matter where I live, I want to make my animal shelter a better system. I'm going to do all I can to help volunteer and make it a better for the animals. Every shelter is going to have their issues and problems, and they're going to always be struggling to make things better. I think over time, shelters have gotten a lot better. Back in the old days, things were pretty horrible. Nowadays, I think most shelters run pretty good. There's always room for improvement, of course. People spoke up, and they've listened, and they said, oh yeah, maybe we should change things. And they have changed it, and the spaying and neutering is a big part of it. The counties that don't spay and neuter will never get caught up. The counties that get it under control, they don't have issues anymore.
Now, how much traveling do you do, you and your Bess and Pooches?
Most of what I do is local, Santa Cruz County. I travel around the Bay Area a little bit, depending, but not too much. Right now, I'm doing a little extra traveling because I have a bunch of family in the state I need to go visit. So I'm just driving around the state right now and visiting some family.
Now, speaking of family, there are homeless people who have pets, who have dogs. And there's that misconception that what are you doing with an animal if you're living down the streets? That's irresponsible. So what is your response to that?
We don't do things for what we can afford. We do things for what matter to us. Animals matter to certain people, and that's important to have in their life. And it's not a matter of if they don't sit down and go, can I afford this or that? Look how many people have kids that can't afford it. I mean, we just do that. That's just part of life. We find a way, we manage. Most of us are struggling. Most of us are living check to check. And so many people are so close to being homeless, they don't even realize how little it would take for them to be in that same situation. An injury that keeps you from going to work for a while, you know, and you can't pay your rent all of a sudden. I just went through Clear Lake in the fire, how many people have lost their homes and everything they worked for their whole life is totally taken away in a matter of instance. So you never know, so learn best not to judge. Nobody's better than anyone else. Some people are just better off, and you might be better off today, but tomorrow you might not be. A little kindness goes a long way is my favorite hashtag. You can't always make someone's life better, but you can make a moment in their life better. And it's about those little moments and stringing them together as many as you can.
And some people have animals for protection or warmth.
Well, that's a big part of it. Warmth, for sure. A cold night, nothing better than a warm dog under your covers. Protection. Most women out there on the streets need protection. They're preyed upon, and nobody cares. I've seen things happen right in front of police, and the police just don't care. They're, you're homeless, I don't care. And unfortunately, a lot of them take that attitude. You can go up to a police and say, oh, that guy just robbed me. And they go, well, you guys are homeless. I don't care about you guys. Just do what you guys do, you know. And I've seen it happen over and over and over. When you can't go to the authorities and expect anyone from them, help from them, you have to find your own means. So a dog's great. I mean, your dog's going to let you know before someone can get close enough to you that they're coming. And give you a chance to do what you need to do.
And you help supply the homeless with food for their pets when you can.
I used to always have food. I've got a great supply line set up. I started out with a great group in town called Project Purr, and they get food donations and they share with me as well as many other organizations around town. I was contacted by a pet food or pet store in Watsonville. They called Wishbone, and they called me and said, hey, we have food we'd like to donate. So they give me great quality food. I pass out, you know, $80 bags of dog food to these homeless people. I don't pass out anything of low quality. I want to accept it when it's offered to me for donations, because like I say, I want to educate people to feed right. And I don't believe you're doing your dog a favor by giving them that low quality food.
And what a lot of people may not understand is that homeless people will often sacrifice their own meal to make sure that their animals.
There's right. Actually a site called My Doggies First that helps the homeless. There's a bunch of people out there around the country doing what I do. It's really refreshing when I come across them. I can share stories. And it's true, they will feed the dog first. Unfortunately, a lot of times that means pizza or a hamburger or something like that. That's why the education is really important to me, to feed and teach them how important it is to feed their dog right. The more quality dog food sure seems like, oh, that costs so much. Out of pocket, it costs more up front. But if you weigh out the amount of meals you get out of a bag, it actually evens out easily compared to cheap food. It's amazing how it's almost the same. Because the cheap food has no nutrition, you end up feeding so much to your dog because it's always hungry.
I saw a couple of people that were parked outside of a food kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And they were offering to watch people's dogs so they could go inside and have
I do that too. I do that. I do.
That.
I do foster care, boarding, watch it. Yeah, you got to go to court for the day. Not a lot of places these people can go to for that kind of help. So I've taken dogs in for literally months at a time while somebody finds a new home. I recently had one, JoJo, the cutest little white, like a cartoon character. He jumped around, his happy ears in the air all the time. It was like, and kind of dog I would never normally like, but I just fell in love with him immediately. He was so cute. And I had him for over a month, and then the little old lady was homeless, and then she called me and said I got a place. And I have a video on my Facebook page of him running up to her and her crying. So it's those moments that make it all worthwhile. She called the shelter, and the shelter said, we'll take your dog, but we'll adopt it out. You won't get it back.
Really?
Yeah. So there's not a lot of resources out there sometimes for someone. So I do everything sliding scale. Can't afford to pay me, I just do it for free. And then I have clients that I watch their dog for. I do dog sitting and pet sitting and dog walking. And there's people that pay me a whole bunch of money because they know it's going to cover all those ones I do for free. So that's why I'm doing the nonprofit thing. I'm setting all that up through the legal paperwork and all that right now. I have a teamwork taking care of that for me. So I can get the official 501c and all that.
Do you have any future goals like expanding?
I want to be able to get vet care. That's the hardest thing right now, is when someone's dog really needs vet care, where do they go? What do you do? A vet's not going to let you in that door if you don't have money. I've gotten real lucky. We have a great organization in town called Birch Bark, and they'll pay usually 50% of a bill for a dog that has a life-threatening issue. So I've run into vets with dogs, and so far we've managed to make it work, get everybody fixed, get everyone taken care of that needs to be taken care of. Knock on wood, the next one I might not. So at this point, I don't have a network that I know I can rely on. I'm trying to get that built up. I'm always out there trying to meet new people and find new ways to get things done. We have started a coalition in town with a couple different groups helping, but that didn't seem to still be able to hold together. So hopefully something else can get going soon. But I know there's many of us out there doing it. I'm not the only one. There's just enough need that it takes many of us. A lot of us are more fortunate, like I say, better off than others. I take what I can do and distribute it and help those that need it. I kind of consider myself a distributor more than anything else. I just know where to get the good stuff and who needs it and where I can find them. Before I got the bus, I'd go downtown and see the kids on the side of the walk with their signs, and I would just think, oh, you know, fuck you, get a job. You know, I work for my money, why don't you? I see on Facebook everybody saying how proud they are of their military and their kids when they join the military and all that. Well, guess what? Those homeless people you're mad at, those are those same kids. They don't have jobs because they're so screwed up in the head because of the stuff we had them go do for our freedom. So get off your little high horse and go out there and take someone out to dinner, buy them a coat, do something. You'll see it makes a big difference to somebody when you do a small deed.
And give a little snack for the puppy.
Yeah, yeah. And it helps. We as pet lovers are empathetic towards the pets. And there are some people that will take advantage of that with their pets. They know that, you know, if I have a dog and I beg, I'm going to get a little more than if I don't.
There's always that contingent. But that's the minority.
But that's not why they do it. That's not why they do it. That's just icing on the cake. But they're not doing it for that reason. At least not most of them. Most of them truly are just animal lovers. I couldn't imagine being on the streets without my dog at my side. And
how did you come to acquire your puppy?
I have one I rescued offline. A lady was treating it like a piece of garbage that she didn't want. And the other one was a foster failure. Which is a joke when we adopt our own foster dogs. I've fostered close to 40 dogs now, and I've kept one. She does all the work for me and trains all the other dogs how to be dogs. A dog on the street is fine with you sitting there begging, because, yeah, he was going to beg for food all day anyway. So might as well do it with you.
Who knew that feeding your dog healthy food helps with positive training? Do something different. Carry some healthy dog treats with you in case you see a homeless person and his or her dog. They will both appreciate it.